Welcome to The Compassionate Mind, your guide to self-compassion and emotional well-being. I'm Ashley Daniel, your host. Join us each week as we explore practical tools and insights to nurture kindness towards ourselves and others. All right. Welcome back to The Compassionate Mind podcast. We are going to continue our conversation about shame. And actually, today is our last episode about shame. I really think we did quite a in-depth review about shame, as much as I think we can expect at this time. We talked about what is shame, how to recognize it. We talked about the origins of shame and how it can show up in our life, right, with people pleasing and all those sorts of things. But I think we're going to end on a really important note, which is about religion and shame. This is a topic I've really been wanting to talk about for a while now. Religion and shame is so powerful. And the reason is because we have often used religion to shame people into action or to manipulate people. Religion in and of itself is a very beautiful thing, right? But as people do, we take these beautiful, amazing things and we use it for these horrible purposes. And I really see it in my clients, right? I see it in the way that religion and people's manipulations have impacted the way that they see God. So when I talk about religion, for today's episode, I'm going to focus more on Christianity. I do think religious shame is there for all other types of religions, right? I don't think it's limited to Christianity. I do think Christians are more open or have often more talked about these things and use language like church hurt, religious trauma. I think those terms usually are related to the Christian church. I really haven't heard it in so much context with other religions, but I think that's because I provide Christian counseling and people often come to me for that. They come to me to talk about Christianity and their beliefs, right? So I think there's a lot of things that we could talk about when it comes to Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or all these different types of religions. But for today, we'll focus on Christianity. There's a lot of things I started to pick up on when I started to do Christian counseling. And one of the major things I noticed is when I had clients who had trauma in their past or had depression, that often their concept of God was severely impacted. And a lot of their pain was healing that relationship between God and them. You know, how did they see God? Who was God? What did he think of them? Those are often the things that my clients would come in and be wrestling with. And it was really cool to see that that relationship would get healed. Along with their depression and their anxiety, you would slowly start to see, or I would slowly start to see, that the relationship with God changed. Now, it made me start to think, why is that? Why did I start to see a correlation between seeing God negatively or having that break in the relationship between God and my clients when they were also struggling mentally? And I have a few theories. One thing I really think is that we project our emotions onto God. God can often be kind of a blank slate. You know, whatever we believe about ourselves can often get projected onto him, right? In the Christian context, if we don't take time to know God, read his word, and actually check those thoughts, then we end up putting our beliefs about ourselves or how we see ourselves onto him. So if I believe that I am worthless, if I believe that I'm not good for anything, then I'll begin to think, oh, that's what God thinks. God thinks I'm unworthy. God thinks I'm good for nothing. And so we take those beliefs and we put it onto him, right? When nowhere in the word, nowhere in the Bible does it say that, right? It actually says the opposite, right? That the word says that you are the apple of his eye, that he puts your name on the palm of his hands. That's how wonderful he is and how much he thinks of you, right? That he's constantly thinking about you, right? And he loves you. That's really what the word says. But our own mind will begin to put these false beliefs onto God. And the second thing I think that really impacts it is what people have said to us about us, right? If someone else has said something negatively about me, then I might think, oh, well, if this person says this, then God must also think that way about me too. We begin to equate him with humans. We begin to equate God with, you know, these false statements. And it's really hard when those people are our parents, right? Because our parents, especially when you're a child, when you're a baby, your parents really are your whole world, right? There's a theory called Bronfenbrenner's theory that looks at the micro, the macro, the meso, all the different layers of your environment. And that micro world for a child is really just you and your parents, maybe a sibling, right? If you are a second child, but that's really it. And so if you think about it, if that's your whole world and these people are who are teaching you about God, then you'll begin to equate God with this person, right? Like, if my father is very, and if my dad, you're listening to this, I'm not talking about you, but if my father is being like very aggressive or being very abusive, then maybe I'll begin to think, well, if that's God, if that's my father, and the Bible says God is my father, my heavenly father, then maybe God is also like that. Maybe God is also abusive and angry and harsh, right? So we begin to equate who our earthly father is with our heavenly father. And that's just not accurate, right? What the word says is that God is not a God who is quick to anger, right? That he loves us and that he is a God of love, right? That's what the word says. God is love. So we can see that there's so many verses that go against that. But our actual experience causes us to begin to think, right, that God is angry or God doesn't love us or and all those kinds of things. And I think, though, that's really where it starts. Why a lot of our beliefs about God end up really being a reflection of our own shame. So I think that's something I really want to study more. I've started a few articles and a few studies about this, but wanting to correlate mental health and religion and seeing more evidence that points to some answers. What can we do? How do we help people who are going through that? So moving forward, I think it's also really important to know, where does shame come in context with our Christian faith? So one piece that's really important to recognize is shame starts from the very beginning of our story in Christianity. You have the fall, right? In Genesis 3, it talks about how Adam and Eve fell. And there was the introduction of sin into the world. What's really incredible when you read that story is right when their eyes are opened and they realize that they have disobeyed God and that they experience that sin for the first time, they experience sin for the first time, they actually simultaneously feel shame. And it's the first time that word is introduced. And you see it because immediately they feel that shame and they try and cover themselves up. So shame is really, is that consequence of sin. And it's just first introduced in that moment. So that's where we really see, where does shame come from? There's such a relationship between sin and shame. But what is so beautiful about this is that God in that moment was seeking after Adam. You know, if you look at that chapter in Genesis 3, God is saying, walking and saying, Adam, where are you? He was still wanting to have that conversation. And it's not like God didn't know what just happened, right? But in that moment of Adam's sin, God was seeking after him. And that's a piece that I think as Christians, we really neglect, right? We feel the shame, because when we sin against God, we immediately know that we've done something wrong and we feel that. But what we do is what Adam and Eve did. We hide, right? We notice that, we feel that shame, and we want to hide from God. We can't, it's like, I think sometimes we feel that being around him, you know, will he be angry with us, right? That kind of immediate response. Or maybe being around him will highlight that shame even louder, will make it scream louder. But the reality is that God himself is so compassionate towards us. And we see verse after verse after verse about that. And I can just read three: Colossians 3:12, Isaiah 30:18, Isaiah 54:10. All these verses that say that God is compassionate towards us. And the actual root of compassion is so beautiful, because compassion at its root recognizes, it recognizes our imperfection. It recognizes our suffering. So we first have to have knowledge that suffering exists in order to have a compassionate response. So God is not blinded to our pain. He's not blinded to our suffering. He's not blinded to our imperfection. He sees that and he wants to meet us, right? That is his nature. And so when we sin or when we feel that shame, it's so important to run towards God instead of to hide from him. But we constantly are hiding and hiding and hiding from God, when in reality we can experience so much freedom and so much relief if we were to actually go into his presence. The thing about religion, what it teaches us, is actually the opposite, right? Often religion teaches us to clothe ourselves. Like what Adam and Eve did, right? They took these fig leaves and they covered themselves because they were trying in their own strength, in their own limited knowledge, to cover up their nakedness, right? Their shame. But they couldn't do that. And we as Christians are constantly doing that. And if we're living in a shame-based family, or maybe even a church that is speaking in terms of shame, right? Or a church that's using faith to manipulate people, then often they may preach this idea, right? That, oh, you have to be the best, you know, you have to, in order to gain religious, to gain all these things, that you have to be the most prolific with the Bible, or to be the best at praying, or to be the most on the outside to look the best, right? To have no flaws, and to never make a mistake, to never sin. That's just not possible, right? We as Christians are going to mess up. We are going to sin. We are going to make mistakes. But we need to have a place. What God really wants is in the church is to have a place of safety where you can go to your brothers and sisters and actually say, I messed up. I made a mistake. Or I experienced so much shame and so much ridicule and so much embarrassment or anxiety. And then in that space with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to experience complete love and acceptance, right? Or even me too, I also did that, or this is how I got through it, right? Not a constant show of who is the best at showing to the world this fake mask. And that's what often religion does. It teaches us how to have a really great mask, right? How do I look the best in front of everyone? How do I present myself the best, right? And it's just, that's not what it's about. Even Jesus talks about how the Pharisees are whitewashed tombs. That's what he called them, whitewashed tombs. They're beautiful on the outside. They're pristine, but on the inside, they're dead. And that's exactly what he tells us not to do, right? He wants us to be real and authentic and honest, and to go to the throne of grace and completely go to him and say, Lord, this is what I'm struggling with. So Christianity, what Jesus gave us is such a beautiful thing that recognizes our shame, that recognizes our imperfection, that says that, yes, we are not enough, right? In our own strength, we cannot do that. We have fig leaves and we have things that are covering us up and we're going to do all these things. But really, the more we try and do to cover our own shame, the louder that shame is going to get. Because I can never pray enough for me to feel that relief. I will never, the less I drink or the less I party or the less I curse doesn't take me closer to God, right? What actually does, and of course there's all this other stuff, but what actually takes me closer to experiencing relief is running to the throne of grace and saying, Lord, these are the things I'm struggling with and these are the things that I need help with. Of course, those things, like maybe the behavioral things, do change with time, but that's not what actually makes us whole before God or holy before God. It is Christ's sacrifice. And that's why in the end of that chapter, God takes a sacrifice and covers Adam and Eve, right? He does it for us. And that is really essentially it. We need to be able to know what is God's actual purpose. It is to give us that and to sacrifice for us and to do this for us in a way that we cannot do for ourselves. So ultimately, these are some of the things that we have to recognize is God is not the one who is accusing us. Actually, Psalms 103:9 says that God does not accuse us. He's not constantly accusing us. He does not hold his anger against us. That's what Psalms 103 says. But you know who does accuse us? In 1 John 3:20, it says, our heart condemns us. My own mind, my own self condemns myself. I condemn me, right? And then the other person that condemns us is the devil. And that's in Revelation 10:10-12. So if you hear that condemnation, if you hear that shame, that ridicule, the accusation, that's not from God. That's either from the devil or it's from our own mind. And so really know that whatever kind of thoughts you have, like, does God think less of me? Does he believe I'm not worthy? Does he believe I'm not good enough? None of that is true. If those thoughts come to you, that is not from him. And if you want to know what God thinks of you, go back to his word. Go back to what the Bible says. Anything in there, that's really where you can understand God's thoughts about you. And he has so many thoughts about you. He has so many thoughts of good. And he wants all these wonderful things for you. He wants a relationship with you. And so really, I want this podcast, this episode, to be a reminder that if you feel far from God, know that he is right there. He has never left your side. He has never said any of those things against you. He's never said anything negative about you. He loves you so much. And all he wants is to give you this free gift of salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. That even before you knew him, even before you were alive, he knew you and he had your name in mind when he sent his son to die for you. So just know that is what Christianity is. And even though there have been people who have hurt you, and even though there have been people who've used religion to manipulate you, that was not God's intention. And he wants to draw near to you. And what the word says is all you have to do is draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. So I just know I am praying for you, and I know that God can heal that relationship that has been broken, and that he wants that. He wants that so much. All right. Thank you. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's content, tune in for our next episode. Don't forget, subscribe and share with your friends and family. Until next time, stay compassionate.